ये SBS उर्दू है।
Australian cricket journalist Dennis Friedman recently visited Pakistan and made a documentary about his whole journey. Let's talk to him about his visit to Pakistan. Dennis, welcome to SBS Urdu.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dennis, you recently visited Pakistan, made a documentary, met people over there, cricketers. You met the Prime Minister, Imran Khan, over there as well. But before that, before asking you about your journey, what were your views about Pakistan as a cricketing nation before going there?
Yeah, very good question. I guess, like many Australians who don't have a subcontinental background, all we know about or knew about Pakistan and what we've seen about Pakistan is really when their cricketers tour Australia. And, you know, there's been some magical cricketers over the journey, such as Imran Khan and Wasim Akram and Abdul Qadir and Shahid Afridi and Misbah and Yunus and all these guys. But there's something different about the Pakistani way of playing cricket, and it had some sort of secret sauce that we couldn't quite understand. And so every time the Pakistanis toured, you'd see some new names and, you know, some new guy who claimed he was only 19 years of age and could make the ball swing in magical ways or had a strange batting technique or could turn a game. And so that was something that appealed. And also, you know, it seems like a resilient bunch of people. So that was what I thought of Pakistan. On any given day could turn a game just through some crazy act or something you haven't seen before, and slightly unique. And there's an appeal to that, which grabbed me.
What made you decide to visit Pakistan and how it came about?
I had at the time it was middle of 2017. I think it was June or July, and the Champions Trophy was on in the UK. And Pakistan only just qualified for that tournament. They qualified eighth out of eight teams, and they somehow made it through to the semi-final against England. And I was in the Orient Hotel, which is a pub in the Rocks in Sydney, and I may have had one too many alcoholic beverages. I was there with a friend, and I put a tweet on social media that said, Pakistan win the Champions Trophy, then I'm going to go to Pakistan. And they beat England in the semi-final, and then, as many of your listeners will know, they beat India in the final. And then my timeline got spammed with people telling me that I'd made a commitment to come to Pakistan, so I should go now. And on the back of that, I said, we'll have some fun with this. I'll set up a GoFundMe campaign for, at the time, I just called it Dennis Does Pakistan. And the generosity of the Pakistani community was overwhelming. I raised $6,500 in 2 days. And with the money also came all these messages of why it was so important for me to go and try and tell the story of Pakistan and try and help change the perceptions of what place people in Western countries like Australia might think of the place. So it quickly went from something that was a bit of a throwaway drunken joke into something that became a little bit more spiritual and a calling. I felt compelled to get off my backside and tell the story of what Pakistan is and try and change some of the perceptions around what we have about Pakistan. You know, if you ask the average Australian guy in the street, again, someone that hasn't maybe come from a subcontinental background, there's a little bit of, I'm going to use the word brainwashing, that's perpetuated by the media. And, you know, we say things like Pakistan is unsafe, Pakistan is a harbour of terrorists, Pakistan has a militant Islamic culture, so forth and so forth. And the throwaway lines that stick around around Pakistan, and I just had a sense that a lot of it is obviously not true. And no country's perfect, but including Australia, but surely all these things couldn't be true. And I'm glad that when I went to Pakistan and discovered it for myself, it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was an amazing place full of just amazing people, and nothing like what the perceptions are that you have.
You made a documentary about your whole visit. You met different people, different cricketers. Would you like to share some memorable moments during your visit?
Oh, geez, there was so many. Look, I landed in Karachi, and that was the start of my journey. I didn't know anybody there. I obviously had made some contacts through the internet of people that were going to help me, but so that was just fun in itself. And I remember actually checking in at Melbourne Airport to go to Karachi, and I was flying with Etihad to Abu Dhabi and then across to Karachi. And when I checked in at Melbourne Airport, the person grabs my passport and says, "Sir, what's your ultimate destination?" I said, "Karachi, Pakistan." And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, "Are you sure?" So that was the start of the journey. We did some amazing things. Every day we probably planned to do 20 or 30 things, and Pakistan being Pakistan, only one or two of those actually came off. But we filled the things that didn't work with another 20 or 30 things that we hadn't planned. And you're right in your introduction, thank you very much. You know, I got to meet Imran Khan at his house at Banigala. I met Misbah al-Haq, who was the captain of the Pakistani team. And interviewing him was really challenging. He's probably the most difficult interview I've ever done, and I've probably interviewed maybe 100 cricket personalities over the journey. He's just very intense, and you never know. You never sense like you've formed a bond with Misbah when you're talking to him. There's like a wall there, whereas Imran, obviously as a politician, is very opening and welcoming. Let's see, I went to the National Cricket Academy in Lahore and got to play in the nets with an Akmal brother, which was quite fun. That's some of the cricketing memories. Playing tape ball cricket in front of some mosques in Lahore, just with the locals, and also in Karachi, and understanding what that means was fantastic. But just as enjoyable was getting out into the countryside, just eating, you know, Andawala burger at street stalls, and experiencing that part of life as well. So many memories. We went Karachi, Bhawalpur, Multan, Lahore, Islamabad, and up to Nathia Gali. So in 2 weeks we saw quite a bit of the country, but there's so much more that I didn't get to see that I can't wait to go back and see next time.
As a journalist, what would you like to say is the key takeaway of your visit?
Oh, I guess as a journalist, we're always looking for truth. And again, I just come back to the perceptions. On the Australian government website, it says when you go to smarttraveller.gov, it says, you know, please put in your country and you say Pakistan, and a big red box comes up and says only travel is absolutely necessary. And, you know, I think we're scaring people unnecessarily about what Pakistan is. I guess the key message is I never felt unsafe once while I was there. Not once did I feel like I was looking over my shoulder or I was being watched or that I was in a place where, I was worried about security. Never felt that. And I was walking the streets and going to the mall and eating in the streets and, as I said, playing tape ball cricket. I wasn't swamped by people or seen as something different because I had different colour skin or lighter hair. I was just a person. And, Pakistan is a safe place to visit, and Pakistan is a welcoming place to go for a traveller. It's not the easiest place to travel around, but it's not the most difficult either. But the perceptions around it being a place where it's unsafe and you shouldn't go, I think it's just wrong from my experience.
There are several countries, including Australia, who are still refusing to play in Pakistan. Do you think or do you foresee that that might change in future?
Yeah, the issue you have there is, so for your listeners that aren't aware, the reason why countries don't do big tours of Pakistan is in 2009, Sri Lanka were touring there, and in Lahore, they were in a bus about 200 metres from the stadium, and terrorists shot the bus up. And when I say shot the bus up, they launched rockets at the bus and they threw grenades at the bus. And in Charlotte, no one died from the cricketing side. The terrorists were shot, and some policemen and some civilians, unfortunately, died. But when cricketers are a target and the sports people are a target, that is a very different thing to overcome than than just a general terrorist act in the street. You know, if you look at in Sydney, in Martin Place, we had a terrorist act a few years ago at the Lindt store. If you look at the London bombings, you look at the Paris bombings, you look at almost every, you know, India has more bombings than any other country in the world. But if you look at all these countries, we still play cricket there because I think it's because the cricketers weren't a target. Whereas in this particular instance, 10 years ago, cricketers were a target. And that's the thing that I believe the boards are struggling to get their heads around in terms of, you know, if we tour, are we a target? Because in England, when we tour, yes, there's things go wrong in every country, but people aren't shooting at the cricketers, whereas in Pakistan they did. So I don't know. I'm not close enough to, you know, the guys that make those decisions. But I would suggest that's the biggest thing that needs to be overcome. And one of those ways to overcome it, and Pakistan is taking the right steps here, is to play the PSL at home more and more. So last year, I think it was 8 matches at home. The year before, there was just the final and the semi-final. Next year, you know, I think they're planning for half the matches to be at home. I think, but once you can prove that you can play a full season of the Pakistan Super League at home with international players in the league and at multiple stadiums, not just in Karachi or Lahore, but if you can also play in Rawalpindi, you can play at Quetta, you can play wherever, and get Pakistan used to that happening again and getting the systems and processes in place that allow that to happen, then I think you'll find Australia, England, South Africa, the big touring nations, will be more comfortable to come back and do full tours of Pakistan again.
Thank you, Dennis, for talking to SBS Urdu.
Thank you so much for having me.
مزید دلچسپ معلومات کے لیے sbs.com.au/urdu پر جائیے.